Good morning. Good morning. Oh, for some reason, the lights seem very bright this morning.
It's all sunny.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there. It's great to be here this morning and having the privilege and another great opportunity to bring forth the Word of God. But before I do that, I'm going to make a public announcement and ask for your prayers. And no, it's not because of this mic. I need prayers for that too, but you know, we're singing that song about the great power of God and how He never fails. And we as born-again believers should stand firm on that promise. I received a text from my brother-in-law just this morning. He sent it about 4 something because he's on the East Coast, and I read it about 5 o'clock. And his wife, they found a lump or something on her liver sometime last year, and she's been undergoing treatment. But he texted me this morning and said she is between December and this week, she's been hospitalized 4 times. Between 1 day and 10 days. And she just got out of the hospital on Wednesday. And she's been weak, and he's had to help her with daily life. And he's not a hands-on person, so I'm praying for strength for him too. But apparently it looks like her liver is failing. So he gave me a big word. I had to look it up before calling him back. But I would like your prayers. Her name is Lena. They visited our church before. They used to live in Seattle before they moved back to New Jersey, where they live now. So please pray for Lena. And we believe God is a healer, and He's still in the healing business. Amen. But today, we're going to talk about the subject, the past, the present, and the future. All 3 of those are important. Amen? We all have a past, we're all in the present now, and we all have a future, universally, no matter where we come from, no matter the color of our skin, no matter the color of our hair or whether we have hair or not, no matter how tall or short we are, we all have a past, we all have a present, and we all have a future. So in our walk with God, in our daily walk with God, we often reflect on the past. We often engage, or we should be engaged with the present, because that's where we are now, and we always should be looking forward to the future. All 3 of these dimensions or time frames are important in our spiritual journey, and all of them help shape our understanding of God's purpose for our lives. The past should serve as a foundation. The present is where we live out our faith, and the future is where our hope lies. Now, I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands here this morning, many of us have come across people in our lives who spend all or most of their time living in one of these dimensions to the exclusion of the others. Have you known anyone who spends all their time talking about stuff in the past, who they used to be, what they used to do, and all this stuff? There's a lot of people like that. I've come across many of them. Then we also have the people who are only concerned about the here and now. The past means nothing for them. They've either not built a foundation from what they went through or learned any lessons that God had tried to teach them from the past. And they're only about the here and now. And then there's those who are always looking over the next hill. Well, I thought about the hill. In Africa, directions are terrible. They say, just go over that next hill. Well, it might be 100 feet or it might be 10 miles. But there's people who are always so fixated on the future that they miss the here and now. You know, I always tell people I like getting to the destination, but I also want to have some semblance of knowing what's going on the trip. Yes. Amen? So we need to have a balance. The scriptures is all about balance, right? There's churches that almost every second sermon is talking about money. That money is an important part of the Bible. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all you talk about, there's a problem. There's churches now that you hardly ever hear the word sin. Sin is also in the Bible. So it's important to talk about sin. Amen? Amen? But that's not the only thing we talk about. We talk about sin, we talk about God's love. Yeah, a lot of people like to hear the love part, they don't like to hear the sin part. But one of the things I guarantee you, if you spend any time in this fellowship, you'll hear the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So let's look at a few passages of Scripture as we explore this topic of the past, the present, and the future. Psalm chapter 77, verses 11 through 12. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. The past, as recorded in the Bible, is filled with accounts of God's faithfulness. It is important for us to never forget what God has done in our own lives and the lives of those that have gone before us, and things that he's still doing now, of course. The wonders and miracles that are recorded in the Bible are not only testimonies of God's power, but also reminders of his constant presence in our lives today. Amen? Amen. Reflecting on the past should strengthen our faith and help us trust in God's ongoing work. The problem is that sometimes our memories are short. And the scripture is also filled with accounts where people quickly forgot what God had taken us through or taken them through. And I know nowadays we like to point fingers at it and say, that could never be me. Well, yes, it could. We look at the Old Testament, the kings. You have one king, he will be a godly king and everything will be going fine. And then he will go and the next one will be a wicked king who will be even more wicked than the ones before him and everything will go downhill. We see the account where God opened up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walk across on dry land. And then as soon as things started to get a little rough, they began to complain and wish they were back in slavery. Yes. We should never forget where God took us from. Amen. We should never forget what he's brought us through. We should never forget that one day we were lost and now we are found. One day we were blind, but now we can see. It's only because of his love and his faithfulness towards us. His love for us and his faithfulness towards us. Amen? So we should look at the past as God building a foundation upon which we can build up our faith for the present and help us to look forward to the future. Amen? Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I'll read it again. It's a beautiful passage. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we see all three of those dimensions right in this passage. It was written for our instruction. What good is instruction if we don't learn what it's trying to teach us? Amen? God has already equipped us with what we need to be fruitful and to serve him and fulfill his purpose for our lives. Amen? A lot of times we pray for faith. Nothing wrong with praying for faith, but I will propose to you this morning that you already have enough faith to believe for what God is telling you and directing you and nudging you to do. Amen? A lot of times when we want to pray for faith, what we're trying to say is, God, I'm not ready yet. I don't quite believe you yet. Nudge me some more. But it's written for our instruction. And then what? That through endurance means that there will be some obstacles. Amen? Endurance means that there will be some tests. Endurance means that there will be some trials that we'll have to go through. Through endurance and the encouragement. So the encouragement now is present. We're still being encouraged by the scriptures, even as we read and meditate on them day by day. And what? We might have what? A hope for the future. Past, present, and future. The Bible serves as a guide, rich with stories of triumph, failures, lessons, and promises. The past, as recorded in God's Word, teaches us valuable lessons that are not to be forgotten. It shows us God's promises to His people and reminds us that the same God who worked in the past is still active today. That's important. A lot of times we read the Bible and we think, man, it was wonderful, but that was another time. That was another era. Those people were different. Those people lived 900 years. God has never changed his address. The scripture tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He remains just as faithful today as the day he spoke everything into existence. He has never changed. It is as true in the Bible as it is true in all our lives, that not everything in our past has been glorious and hunky-dory and wonderful. That's a reality that we need to come to grips with. But the thing is, we also see people in the Bible who had the same problem. It's not just us folks. It started way back in Genesis chapter 3. And it's been going on for a long time. Since man chose to rebel against the perfect plan of God for his creation. We see many examples of people, even in the Bible, who failed miserably at some point in their lives. And all of us have. Some of us had terrible parents. Some of us had terrible stuff happen to us. But it's all because we live in a fallen world where sin entered. Amen. And separated us from God. Pastor Jim has been teaching about Joseph. That was a messed up family. But God still chose that family to bring forth the Savior of the world. I think he's trying to tell us something this morning. Yeah. Amen? He's trying to tell us that no matter what your past, you have a spotless future. Amen? No matter what you've been through, the fact that you're sitting here today and breathing means that he's still working on you and in you. He has not given up on any of us. Amen? He has not given up on any of us. Lessons are meant to teach us and prepare us for the future, as well as serve as a foundation upon which we can build. How many of you know that foundations are very important? Because if your foundation is shaky, then whatever you build on it is not going to last. It's not going to survive. You can find something about that in the Bible too. Person who built a house on the sand. Sand is not very stable. We should never use as our foundation our failures of the past, or we run the danger of repeating those failures. Amen? It's a good thing to look at the past and praise God for his triumphs and what he's brought us through. It's not a good thing to focus on all the bad things that happened in the past. Amen? Because that keeps us from thriving and fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. One of the greatest weapons of the enemy is to remind us about our past. Especially the bad things about our past. He will never remind us about the time God took us through. He wants us to forget those. Amen? He'll remind us of the stuff that happened to us. You see, where was God when you went through that? He was just where he's always been. But he always tries to remind us of the failures and hurts and hang-ups and all those things that are in our past. And unfortunately, we all have those in our past. He will not remind us of the victories, of the times we cried out to God in the midnight hour and He came through. Of the times we were sick and we got healed. But He will remind us of those times where we've fallen, where we failed. So let's not dwell on the bad things in our past. Amen? And we'll see how we can do that shortly. So let's go to the present. The present is where we actually live out our faith, right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The present is where we spend time living out the transformation that Christ has brought in our lives. Hopefully, everyone here, under the sound of my voice or listening from wherever you are, has been transformed from what we used to be to what we are now and what we're striving to become in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Meaning that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and paid the price for all our sins, past, present, and yes, even future. And once the scripture said we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, He comes and lives within us through the Holy Spirit. That's a transformation. That's being transformed from death to life. That's being pardoned from a death sentence to a gift of eternal life. There can be no bigger transformation than that. Through the power of Jesus Christ, we are made new. And get this, this newness is something we are called to live out daily. The present is where we reflect the reality of our new identity in Christ. Free from the weight of sin and embracing the righteousness of God. But here's the deal. When the scripture says all things, it means all things. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Have passed away. All things have become new. All things means all things. Too many of us try to mix up the new with some of the old. We refuse to take God at His word that says no matter what you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've thought, I wiped the slate clean and you're brand new from today going forward. Don't dwell on that stuff in the past. The price has been paid. Amen. But sometimes we refuse to let go. See, sometimes the new is still unknown. And we're impatient people. We don't want to give God the time to work on us. So guess what? Even though we know we're a new creation, we still want to go back to what we're comfortable with. The old stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's just me. We try to mix this new with the old, and it doesn't work. The old has died. Let's live the new life in Jesus Christ. Because if we don't allow God to work in us, then we become stunted in our growth. We become like the picture that Pastor Jim likes to show, that I think he inherited from Pastor Lee. The old guy with the gray hair and diapers. Mr. Bean. Yeah. Excuse me. That's how we become. And that's why the enemy likes to remind us about the past. He specializes in the bad things about the past. Not what God has done, but also the things that we considered good in the past when we were part of his kingdom. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is this scripture saying? In the present, we are to focus on the now, trusting that God is with us each step of the way. Because he saved us, he's paid the price, he's made us new. Now all we need to do is trust in him and allow him to work in us. Worrying about the future robs us of the peace and joy God intends for us today. Now, there's a difference between planning and being and preparing and worrying. A lot of the stuff we worry about, we really have no control over. Amen? I remember Pastor Lee told a story about this lady who liked to worry. She worried about everything, and she complained to people about what she worried about. And then one day, she woke up, and she called her friend, excited. Guess what? I woke up this morning, and I'm not worried about anything. But guess what? That worries me. Yeah, she was worried about not having anything to worry about. Now that's a sad state to be in. Jesus encourages us to live fully in the present, taking care of the matters at hand while trusting in God's provision for tomorrow. Amen? Again, you can find that God says he provides for the birds of the air. What more would he do for his children, the crown of his creation? I'll give this for a bonus. Don't believe what they teach in schools, that we're no different from the animals. We are. Amen? That's for extra credit. Just as bad as it is to continually focus on the past, it is also not helpful to focus only on the future. We do not need to know the whole way. We only need to be obedient enough to take the first step. Yes. Amen? And we see this again in the Bible. God told Abraham, get up from where you are and go to a place that I will send you or show you. The scripture does not tell us that Abraham asked God where. What's the direction? Oh, my GPS broke. I need a new one. How long is it going to take? Where am I going to go? How many rivers do I have to cross? He didn't ask any of these questions. The scripture that said early the next morning he got up and took the first step. That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. To know that if he tells us to do something, he's more than able to see us through and to equip us with everything that we need to fulfill his plans and his purposes and his promises for our life. So we don't need to know the whole way. All we need to do is to take the first step, put one foot in front of the other. Amen? Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? These verses probably speak best, and this is Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the church at Philippi. These verses probably speak best about finding the perfect balance between looking back at the past, living in the present, and reaching forward towards the future. Notice that Paul here uses the active verbs reaching and pressing. While we should always have the hope for the future, that is not always enough. Yeah, to believe is good. But sometimes, well, all the time, we got to do something with that belief. Amen? The scripture said even the demons believe and tremble. So we know that belief isn't all that's required. Amen? It's a good start, but we got to do something with it. James says it best that our faith must be accompanied by action in order to be effective. Amen? We can sit and hope all day. We don't do something about it, it might not pan out for reality. Picture a driver on a road, and you're cruising down the road, and then you take your foot off the accelerator. Pretty soon, that vehicle will come to a dead stop. You don't need to press the brakes. Sooner or later, it will stop. And that's the picture I get when Paul said he's pressing on. Yeah, sometimes it'll get rough. You may stumble and fall, but you get up, you wipe yourself off, and you take another step. We can't sit supinely, or we can't give up. Amen? Same thing with our faith. We are on the treadmill of the Christian walk. And if you know what happens if you stand still on a treadmill? Not a good picture. You actually go backward and take a tumble. So we always have to be engaged in the Word, in fellowship, in prayer, and allowing God to work on us, to continually encourage us, to continually remind us of what He's already done for us in the past, and remind us of His promises toward us for the future. Amen. Because if we don't, then we grow cold. And then we're not as effective even living today to fulfill the purposes for which He's called us. Yes, He's promised us a home in heaven. But first, we must get through this part of the journey. Amen? We must get through this part of the journey. Oh, we're doing fine. We'll beat the Baptists to the restaurants today, I promise you. Okay, well now let's go to the future, our hope and aspiration. God has promised us great anticipation for our hope. Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has given us so many promises in His Word. Yes, a lot of the promises in the Old Testament were spoken specifically to His chosen children, the children of Israel. But guess what? We've been grafted into that family. Amen? We've been grafted, so we're all part of God's family now. God has a plan for our lives, and His thoughts towards us are always good. Always good. The scripture said, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. His promise is not just for the present, but for the future as well. Guess what? There's a lot of promises that God gives us that are for this present life. Amen? Not everything is at the end. As we walk through the present, let us do so with the assurance that God holds our future in His hands, and that He is, like the scripture says, working all things together for our good. Yeah, even those things that may not seem like it when we're going through it. But if we're on God's side and He is on our side, He's working it for our good. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's not affected by the stock market. No. Reserved in heaven for you. The future for the believer, for one who has put his or her trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, is not just a distant hope. No. It is what? A living hope. So we're living in that hope even now where we stand or sit this morning. Through Christ's resurrection, we have an inheritance that is imperishable, a future that is secure in Him. And get this, the future gives us purpose and motivation to live today with an eternal perspective. I like that. Knowing that what awaits us is far beyond what we can even imagine. So while we have a hope, but we're living now as if we're already in that hope, because we know that God is on the throne, and what He has said, He is more than able to fulfill. Amen? I'll have the worship team come up. I got that amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Hallelujah. Can you imagine? It's hard to imagine. But we know that that's the promise of God. For the former things have passed away. Well, guess what? The old things have already passed away. Yes. Let's live like it. Yes. Amen? Amen? The old things have already passed away. We read the scripture just a few minutes ago. The ultimate future and the one we all look forward to and long for is for when God establishes His eternal kingdom. In this new heaven and new earth, there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more separation from God, because there will be no sin. Sin is what separates us from God. We'll just be worshiping Him day and night, night and day. This is a future we look forward to, a time when we will finally be fully and completely united with our Creator. What a hope. Because Jesus paid the price. And He rose in victory over sin and death. And the scripture tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive today in you and me. That same Spirit. And He's able to see us through whatever the circumstances in our lives this morning. God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still a forgiving God. He's still a life-changing God. He's still a slate-wiping clean God. He's still a forgiving God. He's still a healing God. He's still a God that mends relationships. He's still a God that's able to raise from the dead. Because He's the same God. Let's stop dwelling on the failures of our past. Let's believe God this morning for who He says He is. And let's believe Him for what He says He will do. And walk in newness of life. Believe the scripture that says old things are passed away. Dead, gone. All things have become new. Would you stand with me, please?
What a great reminder of our future hope. Amen. Our future hope in Christ. And we are to be pressing towards Christ. We should be moving towards Christ. I remember when I was in the military, we did these field training exercises, and one in particular, we were doing like an airsoft war, and we were practicing taking these fixed positions and stuff, and in this particular one, my whole unit got pinned down by the enemy, and I can just vividly remember the drill sergeant yelling at us, continual forward movement. You have to move forward. You cannot stay where you are. If you stay where you are, you're dead. Move forward, move forward. And we're all just like, no, this hurts. But every time I think about that passage in Philippians where Paul says, I press on towards the goal that is in Christ Jesus, I think about that moment in the military, because we do have to continually move forward. We have to continually move towards Christ. If we stay where we are, if we're pinned down, we're probably going to die. I know that sounds harsh. If we are moving backwards, we're losing the battle. So our number one goal should be moving towards Christ, fixing our eyes on the hope that is in Christ, the hope that is in heaven, the hope that He has prepared for us, that He goes and prepares a place for us. So continually move towards Christ. Press on towards that goal. Fix your hope and your future on Him. He will lead you and make your path straight. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this word today. Lord, I pray that we would take this word to heart, Lord. There are so many things in our life that would make us worry about the future. There's so many things in our life that would take us, our mind and our eyes off of You. But Lord, I pray that we would fix our eyes on You, that we would put our mind on that hope that is in You. Lord, I pray that You would bless us with Your presence, God, that we would know that You are working through our lives. Help us to run this race with perseverance. Help us to run the race that You have set out before us with endurance. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Your hope, Your promise, Your future, God. We just thank You so much for all that You do in our lives. And we pray this in Your precious and holy name. Amen.